This is a recording of the December 20th, 2017 regular Board of Directors meeting at the Chugach Training Room to convene at 4 p.m.
Do we know the word? I am going to call to order. I'm going to call to order the regular Board of Directors meeting for December 20th, 2017. It is 4 o'clock, right at those, and we will start with a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, see you all here today. On the phone we have Director Reeves and Director Henderson, correct?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. And you can hear us all just fine?
You can, and I'm going to go on mute now.
Okay, thank you. And then we have...
I'm on mute.
Thank you both. And then in the studio, we have Director Crawford and Director Parks and myself. So with that, we will go to safety minute. Christmas safety.
All right. Can we pull up this slide? As far as doing that, I kind of blame my father for me being an expert in Christmas safety. So I was about 16 years old. My dad was putting up the tree, and this is the type of aluminum tree stand, and he got underneath it, and he's screwing all the screws, and he's got pine sap and needles falling down, and the tree fell over, and he put it back up, and he adjusted, and the tree fell over. Well, my dad got so impatient that he picked up the entire tree by the tree stand, carried it out in the yard, and chucked it out in the road. So then my sister and I are looking at each other going, are we going to have Christmas this year? What the heck is going on? So I had to retrieve the tree and put it up myself. And in doing so, I kind of learned how to be a Christmas expert, if you will. So along those lines, we've got Christmas safety. So obviously, it's Christmas holiday season. And we have 12 tips. I won't read them all. I'll read them all, but some I'll talk a little bit about because I have some personal experience with it. So tip one, clean your chimney. Those of us that have wood-burning fireplaces, I think you all know that creosote builds up in a chimney, and typically I like to clean those things out once a year. Make sure your outdoor lights are meant to be used outdoors. I think that's pretty easy these days, because when you buy lights, they usually say indoor, outdoor, or just outdoor only. Use a ladder safely when hanging the lights. Who here has hung lights with a ladder this year? Okay, I think we had a ladder safety class within the last year, and hopefully put some of those tools up into use. Certainly we're at risk when we're putting our lights up, and it always seems like the best place to put lights is just the furthest from reach. Turn off all indoor and outdoor lights before you go to bed. I think that's a good idea, regardless of how cool our lights look at night. It's more sense to shut those off at night, so if they're not left unattended. And then number six, place candles. A lot of us burn candles during the holidays, so oftentimes we're not careful, we forget that they're on, so always try to remember when the candles are. I have a couple cats and a dog, and I know they like to run through those things in some way. Can we go to the next slide?
Before we get to the next slide, has everybody got their cell phones off? We're still getting through. Okay, can you guys still, are the phones still hear us okay?
There's a really bad buzz that comes up about every 20 seconds, so it sounds like interference.
We're noticing that, so we've got folks working on it as we speak. We just want to make sure everybody here has done what we can with the phone call. Go for it, continue.
Yeah, you got number seven, always have a working fire extinguisher handy. I think this is a good tip to think through. I wonder how many people here today could say they know exactly where their kitchen fire extinguisher is. And whether it's been well taken care of in case you use it. With so much holiday cheer, don't get distracted and leave cooking food unattended. Santa Claus probably drinking some milk there from that eggnog. Yes, for tip number eight. Pro tip, make sure your smoke alarms are working. So usually it's a seasonal thing. That's a good time to check those batteries. If we could go to the next slide. Number nine, keep trees away from heat sources. How many people have real trees in their house? Anybody? So I think you guys all know those things need lots of care and feeding, lots of water. Have you ever burnt one at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Those things go up like crazy. And if you ever get on YouTube, Google Christmas tree fire, and you'll see all sorts of stuff. It's really entertaining. I think we all know those can be quite fire hazard if not taken care of. Don't overload your electrical circuits. A lot of times we tend to plug a whole bunch of stuff in to get those lights going. Number 11, always turn the lights out before leaving. The other day, my wife did tell me that our dog was chewing on the Christmas lights and had shot herself. So I had to make, she's okay. I had to do a Christmas tree report and whatnot. And if we could go to the last slide. Number 12 is pretty handy. Last night, I was actually surprised that it had snowed a couple inches when I went out to the car. If we were really on top of this, I would have shoveled the driveway as soon as I got home, but because I didn't, what am I left with? A mess and frozen ice and all that, so I have to go to Home Depot and get the salt and all that stuff. So it always makes sense to keep your sidewalks clean. And then Santa's tip, along with this, don't drink and drive. Santa wouldn't call a cab. You have Uber and rideshare and spouses and friends and family to make sure you don't make that mistake. So that said, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all that stuff to everybody. In the front, you can see, I guess we'll call those some gifts to our board members. Should we show them what's inside, or should we just let them anticipate?
I would torture them.
All right, so what we have here is a pretty cool thing. This is actually a battery pack that can jumpstart your car if your battery is down. It actually do it up to 20 times. Now, if you got to jumpstart your car 20 times, I'd like to give you a different gift. believe it or not, this thing has 200 cranking amps. That's quite a bit. It holds a charge for 8 months. So this is actually a pretty cool gift. And this is also something fully capable of charging any electronic device you have. So if you throw this thing in your car, your camper, your boat, you'll never be wanting for power. So again, happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And thanks for a great year. All that good stuff. So I'll let you put that back in there and wrap it and put it back in there. We're all the same, even though the packaging looks different.
All right. Thank you so much. Any other comments or questions? All right. Hearing none, let's move on to approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Okay. Motion is second to approve the agenda. Any discussion? Lee, were we going to move anything, or has it been moved?
I think we're just going to do under executive session. Oh, we're good.
We did move it already. Yeah. Okay, so we're good. Okay, so any other comments or questions, discussion about the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is approved unanimously. We have no persons to be heard. I guess the question is, do we have persons to be heard? Seeing none, we'll go on to the consent agenda. Please take a look. Again, I always want to caution people about training and conferences. Get your information in before the deadline so we can get the best deal possible. There are minutes there and director expenses. Are there any comments or questions on the consent agenda? Okay, here's your motion to approve.
Vote to approve the consent
agenda. Second. Motion second. Any discussion further? Hearing none, all those in favor of the consent agenda, say aye.
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 Okay, consent agenda is approved. I'm going fast because we have lots to cover, don't we, Lee? CEO reports and correspondence. There are a lot of really good things in here. Is there anything that anybody or you, Lee, would like to take out and talk further about?
I would like to talk about item D, Chugach's Green Energy Program, and item E, Abbott Road Phase 2. We had two short presentations, but I think the board would benefit from seeing both of those.
Okay, thank you. Is there any of the other items on here that anybody would like more to discuss further than what's in your packet? Susan or Jim? Not yet. Okay, so let's just go ahead with that. Let's go with item D and E. Certainly if there's some that strike your fancy as we go through this, we can circle back to the first three.
Okay.
So Kate, go ahead.
Wonderful. Great. Well, thank you for having me to give you an update about the Green Energy Program.
The last time we were in front of you was in January, actually, about this program. And I'm going to stop here and say that I may use the phrase green energy, green pricing, or green program. There's been a lot of transition. They all mean the same thing, green energy program. So, as I mentioned, January was the last time we spoke to you about the green energy program. And a lot has happened since then. Right after board meeting in January, we brought on the lead as a consultant, and they were helping us develop a recommendations report. They delivered that to us in May. Unfortunately, at that time, though, we didn't realize that we were moving forward with the community solar project. And so, in Q3, we did a little bit of adjustments on their recommendations. In Q4, we are currently working on integrating with, well, information systems integration. So that includes CIS, my account, as well as billing.
Might you take a few steps forward, Kate, when you speak, because I think some of us are having a hard time hearing you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, I know it is. I'm used to this.
So well, you don't want to be in front of the,
well.
All right.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that's true.
So we have Q4. We're currently working on integrations with the CIS and my account. And then we are also trying to figure out what is the best subscription model. We want people to for the green energy program within my account. In Q1, we plan on submitting our filings to RCA, as well as draft marketing materials and CIS testing. In Q2 of next year, we hope to soft launch the green energy program. So let's take a few steps back, but not literally, because you won't be able to hear me, and just review why it is beneficial for Chugach to offer this program in general. The first is member relations. It will improve our member engagement. And in addition to that, we know that there are other third-party quote-unquote utilities offering a green up program as well. Some of those, like Arcadia, have marketed to our members. And so by Chugach offering this program, it keeps it within the community and then again boosts our member engagement there. In addition to that, we know that our members want it from our survey results. Not only do they want renewable energy, but they have stated that they're willing to pay more for it. Of course, it falls within our sustainability philosophy umbrella. And then lastly, it provides an opportunity for our workforce to really experience the renewable energy field, more so than we currently already do. All right, so that's the Chugach benefits. But what about the... I'm going to keep on going closer when I do this. Be right in front of you. What about the member benefits? All right, so we will be moving both the community solar program as well as the green energy program at the same time. We'll be offering at the same time. However, the green energy program will be a lesser cost to be enrolled. And so that's one of the member benefits for our green energy program, lower cost renewable energy program to In addition to that, the funds from the program will support community investment in energy development. And then additionally, the members that are participating in the program, they can claim that they have that renewable green energy because a portion of their funds will be going toward purchasing a REC. And then we will retire it on their behalf so they can get that money.
Claim on the tax?
No,
just the claim, the feel-good claim.
Okay. Kind of into that fourth area, the recognition piece. Okay. You know, they could feel proud of themselves, and not only can they feel proud of themselves, but we'll also be supporting them through some public recognition pieces that we'll get, we'll speak to a little bit further on in the presentation. Okay.
Questions so far? Comments so far? Okay.
All right, so there's three different ways utilities usually have a green out program: percentage, blocks, and dollar amount. When we received our recommendations from 3Degrees, what they recommended was go with the 100% option. So have a member green up their bill by 100%. However, now knowing that we have the community solar project moving forward and looking at those costs, they were essentially the same cost for a member to participate. So they were somewhat competitive. So we don't want to do that. We want this to be a lower cost option. And because of that, we're moving away from the percentage subscription model. So the next one is the blocks.
When you say that there's percentage, they were suggesting that, like, if your bill is $100, that you give another $100?
So 100%, thanks, that's a great question. What that 100% green up your bill would mean that you would pay essentially 1.5 cents per kilowatt hour, which would be about $15 for one REC, and we would then retire that on your behalf. So you could say that your whole electric bill is coming from green energy if you're paying 1.5 cents on the top of that. So if you used 100 kilowatt hours in that month, it would be 100 times 1.5.
1.5%?
1.5 cents. So it would be $9 additional.
Oh.
Wait, did I do that right? No, I did not do that right.
No.
If it was 600, if your bill was the average, which is 600 kilowatt hours, and then you times that by 1.5 cents, it would be $9 added to your bill.
1.5 cents per kilo. Okay.
Yes.
And what do you get for that, really? I mean, I'm not sure how that got us any more green energy into our grid.
Okay, so there's two components. For the member, they get that claim that they get to support renewable energy because we are retiring a REC on their behalf. So that's for the member. In addition to that, their funds, about $9 essentially, would go to supporting community energy development in our community. And it's a little bit later in the presentation, but I'll address it now for sure. What we hope to do is create a renewable energy investment fund with those additional fees that we are getting from the program. And that fund would then support renewable energy projects, which then would contribute to more renewable energy on our grid within our
area. Can I ask a question? Because I want to follow up Harry's question.
I don't
understand how we're going to buy or retire renewable energy credits. We don't have any renewable energy credits, do we?
That is a great question as well. And I do apologize. You know, we've seen this material almost a year ago, so yes. There's a lot of updates and catch-up as well. So, correct. We currently sell our RECs from Fireland Wind, so we don't have any to work with. However, the market in general, in the lower 48, they do. And so what we would be doing within this program is purchasing RECs that are outside of our service territory. Once we purchase those RECs, then we retire those on the member's behalf. So they are not local RECs. Yes.
We do what with them for them on the member's behalf?
We would retire them. And this is like a REC registry system. This is, we're familiar with this concept because we do currently sell our RECs with Fire Island Wind. However, we never have taken it a step further and bought RECs before. But the retirement would go through an NAR registry, which certifies the RECs.
Okay, so we have Bettina and then Cece.
Yes.
Bettina?
So how does the member, how do you describe them that we're buying RECs outside our service territory and that's what they're retiring? How do you sell that concept to a member?
Right. So there's a lot of education involved with it. However, what we're hoping on the member level, this is our message. Would you like to green up your bill by contributing $3, $6, or $9 on your bill? By supporting renewable energy in your community. That's the message to the members. On the back end, what we're doing is we're going to be purchasing the REC on their behalf, retiring it so they receive that renewable energy claim. And in addition to that, as I had mentioned, the supporting renewable energy community will fund projects as well. Does that answer your question?
It does. I'm trying to wrap my head around how I explain to a member that interested in that, how it's benefiting their community because you're buying a REC outside of the community.
And so they are putting funds, so the funds that we receive, okay, this might make it a little bit better. In year one, about 10% of what we get from the program participants will go for purchasing the RECs. The additional fees from the program will go to marketing, some of the system integration. And then a third in year one will go to this renewable energy fund to support renewable projects in the community. So only about 10% in the first year will go to purchasing those RECs. Now, over time, as we get more...
Is that Is that a necessary component of the project? Because I don't understand why we would be giving money to utilities in the lower 48 to recognize their renewable projects.
So I will answer your question by saying I have not seen a program that does not include the REC component, a green up program, because it wouldn't necessarily be bringing up your bill, but it would just support renewable energy.
Right. Different.
Yeah. So yes, it could happen. It might not necessarily fit.
It's a different concept.
Okay, Cece. So I don't know enough about the RECs trading and how the prices go, but could there be a scenario where those prices are much higher and then there's fewer dollars? Because the set amount, the green up amount is set, and then there's either RECs go up in price or fewer dollars left for development.
Yeah, again, really great question, especially in the environment right now. Right now, RECs, I'm going to look to Sean here. He's the one that sells our filing wind RECs. I just heard from him today that they're about 35 cents currently. However, at the end of the year, they're moving up a little bit. We're seeing about 45 cents, correct me if I'm wrong, potentially. With my assumptions here, I used what 3 degrees recommended to use with their calculations, which is $1.20 per REC over 5 years. And so, yes, we're seeing them go up. Are they ever going to get that $1.20?
What's the actual philosophy of that? That we're supporting that by, that, you know, somebody's buying ours from Fire Island. We're buying somebody else's because this whole bigger picture is supporting renewable, whether it's here or elsewhere. Is that the concept that we're dealing with? I'm just trying to get to the fundamental philosophy here.
I think you've got to sell something that's green on day one when you don't have a project. And what this allows you to do is sell it green. And what you are is you're contributing money to somebody outside until you have enough money saved up to actually do a green project in your neighborhood.
Why wouldn't we just collect money in our neighborhood?
Because then you're selling something that's not green. So the only other thing you could do is build a project with Chugach money, use those credits to offset. You know, you have to have a project that we prepaid for, where you can have and sell those credits. The problem with that is, like Fire Island, all of our membership pays for Fire Island, so all of the membership has to get credit for those credits that we sell. This is very difficult because you're talking one consumer that wants to invest in green power. So for them to get the green value, we've got to assign a credit. And the only way we can get that credit is to buy it on the market. And then the 90% of the money you put in the bank and then save it up for a project. So they will understand that, number one, they get a green credit that says, okay, this is green, but by continuing to participate in this project, I can actually point to a project in my service territory that will be built. If they didn't do that, it wouldn't get built.
Well, this is interesting. This would be interesting marketing on this because it's not straightforward. It's not. It's a little counterintuitive.
Well, I think, you know, I realize that we're not the first ones to do this. Others are doing it. But I think the communication is important that our members contributing to this, they must understand that this is, their load may not be served by green energy currently, right? And them buying that right doesn't actually put additional load on the lower 48 facility. That's already been generated for other people's needs. Am I thinking of this wrong? We just have to make sure members that are paying for it know that, you know, their power is 80-something percent, you know, off the floor, non-renewable.
Stuart.
Yeah, it's almost a forward funding thing where it almost seems like we are helping someone else pay for their product and then selling them to our members for a profit so we can fund our project.
Pretty much, that's a good way to look at it.
As opposed to us like getting a, and we can't go out and build it by getting a loan because that impacts every member.
Right.
So extending that just a little bit, when we go build our project with this retained piece, will it benefit the entire membership or will it just benefit the contributors?
So potentially with this concept, the recs from the project that we would develop with these funds would go back within the program.
Oh, okay.
Right. So then
we can't sell recs.
We do.
In Alaska, there's no market.
So in this concept, we would retire those recs on the member's behalf. So essentially, we wouldn't be selling them to our members, but we would retire them within the system so that they could claim them.
But let's say this project we put in, I don't know, a small battery with this money, let's say we get a lot of money. The whole membership's going to benefit, right? Not just the people that participated.
Right.
This is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think you might look at it, and please, I'm asking for some validation, verification here. You're buying something for future delivery. You're buying an electricity that will be delivered in the future as a renewable product. You pay a premium for that rent, and you're going to retire it because that's the option. Bring money down and want to keep delivering when we have the capacity to produce. Solar power or wind power. Is that a good estimate of understanding of what you're doing? If I'm Kellogg and I go buy corn to make a cornflake, I buy it today to deliver next September.
Yeah, if I'm hearing and understanding you correctly, the sell to our members is that if you'd like to participate in this program, you'll be supporting renewable energy. Now, what that means is that we will be able to get a renewable energy project in the community at some amount of time. So, it would be a future project in which they'll be able to see a renewable energy project.
Interesting. Way to go. Put your hands going up. Yeah. I'm going to go CC.
Hi.
Sean, maybe you want to say something real quick? Just hang on a second, phone people. Sean, go ahead, and then we'll take questions.
This might help thinking about what a REC is. When you make electricity, you're making electrons that are flowing immediately, and every megawatt hour also, if it's green energy, if it's renewable, it can also produce a REC, a renewable energy credit. Those are two different potential income streams, and so when Fire Island, for example, produces wind, it produces a REC that we're able to sell and get the money from it. So what we're doing is we're supporting renewable energy concepts generally in the U.S. by buying the RECs, but it's basically just one of the byproducts of producing wind somewhere else. So if you think about it in terms of that, like every megawatt hour produces electrons and it produces a certificate, we're buying that certificate. And so the electrons can't claim green. The wind energy that's flowing to someone and they're selling the RECs, they can't claim the green. Whoever buys it claims the green.
Oh, interesting. Harry, we will go. Harry?
Okay, maybe there's something I'm just not getting here, but maybe it's selfish, but I'm much more concerned about getting more renewable projects here in our area. Wouldn't it be more conducive to that to concentrate on putting money towards our own projects directly, and instead of spending money on marketing and putting projects outside of our area? I would much prefer to put a fixed amount, $5,000 or $10,000, into this community solar project directly, and then get the benefit of that, because it's getting more green energy here in our grid.
Yeah. So let me address that. That's absolutely what this program is designed for, is to get renewable energy projects in the ground in the community. The portion of the 10% of whatever you contribute in the first year would go for purchasing RECs, as we had mentioned, outside of Alaska, just because there's no RECs currently that we could purchase in Alaska. We've already looked into that. And so all of the additional funds would go towards supporting a community project, as you said that you would.
I thought you said that some of it was going to marketing, some of it...
Oh, well, okay, yeah. So just for the program itself, to just make sure that the program, you know, gets people involved and participating in it, yeah.
Well, if we were putting it directly into our community solar project, we wouldn't have to spend money for marketing and all, I wouldn't think.
I think they're talking about, you know, two different streams. There's a solar project and this other one that people can choose to do. And people might have the same concerns you do and not want to participate, but there's some people that might. And I think this is just another avenue that we're talking about, right? Hang on. Wait. Stop. Stop, Susan. Wait. It is Cece's turn, and then it will be your turn. Cece.
I just have a, maybe I'm thinking of it too simplistically, but just understand what we have to do to make this work. So sometimes people say, hey, if you contribute to this, we'll send you a blanket. I mean, just keep the blanket, whatever costs you, just put it towards the fund. But we have to sell them something. We have to sell them the rest. Or retire it on their behalf. Not sell them, I get it. Retire it. So once we buy the rec, we can't even sell it because it can only be sold twice and we'll be the last time, right? We have to retire it once we buy it.
We would retire it with the green up program as structured as it is, we would retire it.
Well, but if the members say, just don't spend my money on the recs, I don't care if I get the recognition, just put it towards the project, is that an option or do we have to do something for the money?
It would be our program, so we could alter it.
So it's not an RCA thing where we have to, like, there's an exchange of something for the money.
I think, like you said, I think it's our program. And I think it's really important. I'm kind of getting confused, too. You know, what's the value of this to people? I want you to go finish because it's important that we hear everything and then maybe go back with questions. I think you'll answer some. But I think it's just understand it's a voluntary program that we're offering to our members. They can all say, yeah, that doesn't make sense at all, and not do it. But there are some people that are going to want to do it, and it's an option for them to do. So with that, let's take Susan's question, and let's you continue. There may be questions that generate, but I think you're going to resolve a few of these things as you go through, hopefully. But Susan, why don't you go ahead? You might have to turn her on.
I will.
Susan, are you there?
I can't barely hear it. It's terrible. It sounds like an overhead fluorescent light or something. But anyway, my question is, I thought I heard the speaker say only 10% would go to recs, 20% to fees, 20% to administration, and only 30% to renewable projects. I think that's a problem because if we're actually trying to develop something and we got a 40% overhead, that doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, and let me address that. That is in year one. It's just startup fees, so we do have the integration costs with our CIS. We have to develop a subscription model. So a lot of those fees will no longer be there in even year two.
Startup costs, Susan, is what we're talking about. So let's just, Kate, why don't you go ahead and move on a little bit more, and hopefully we'll have some of those questions answered.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So where we left off in the presentation is what other utilities are doing and how are they offering the subscription model. We just talked about percentage, 100% percentage. We're not going to go with that. The other very common way to offer this program is through blocks, and that would be about $2 to $3 for 100 kWh block. And so that gets a little confusing for our members. A lot of people don't know the kilowatt hours that they use per month. So again, that's confusion, more education. So we decided not to move forward with that. Instead, we think the dollar amount is the best way to move forward. What is that? As I had mentioned previously, it's Would you like to support renewable energy by contributing $3, $6, $9 onto your bill? What does that look like? Sample bill here. The very, very end, you can see that we have a line item that says Greenhouse Program, Blueberry Hill, $3. And there will be three level options. And we have named them Blueberry Hill, Flattop Mountain, and O'Malley Peak. Again, we're trying to keep it within the community. If it's Anchorage, you can Chugach. So that's what we move forward with. That's what you'll see throughout the presentation here. The 369, of course, is for residential members. That $9, as I had mentioned, would be about 1.5 cents per kilowatt hour for the average member. But they could also just say, no, I only want to do $3 this month. Small, commercial, and large, of course, have a different structure.
How well used is this program in other co-ops around the country?
Yeah, that's great. We have a slide coming up.
Just keep going, and then I go. Sorry.
Sorry,
I'm just anxious. Go ahead.
Okay, so there we go. See? Perfect segue. Then you can see national average is about 2%. Year one, though, we're seeing residential. This is our anticipated member participation, about 0.5%. And we also have to take in consideration that there's two renewable projects or programs that our members can participate in now, right? The green energy as well as community solar. So we may lose some participation through those programs. Or perhaps maybe one person would want to do both. So over time, we expect to reach that 2%, which is the national average. And this is common, of course, a program that's starting, and you'll get to that over time. So let's go back to the recognition piece, which is interesting that you had mentioned this, Cece, is let's just throw away the blanket. Well, right now what we're proposing...
Or give them the option.
And so this is modeled on what other utilities are doing, and that's why you'll see this in here. The fact that, yes, you could get a pat on the back by saying you're a supporter of renewable energy. This is just an example of a logo that we would have with a Green Up program. Right here, actually, is the outline of Blueberry Hill, an outline of Blacktop, an outline of Denali. You know, so the idea is, though, is that you see something in the community, and you think local, you think renewable, and you think Chugach. All right? Obviously, not necessarily the main design here, but
I love that logo. I think it's fabulous.
And then you'll see, depending on which level they participate in, they'll get a different piece. Here it's represented as different colors of those stickers. So I'm a member. I say I want to contribute $6 on my bill. Voluntary.
Okay, Harry.
So how do they decide where this money goes, what projects that it goes into? You know, is it going to go into wind farms and solar farms that are sponsored by private companies, investor-owned utilities and stuff like that? Or is there a specific type of project that it will go to?
And I think I'm going to answer that in just a few more slides.
Okay.
So if I don't, we'll loop back around
to
that.
You
did
it too.
I know.
Jumped ahead. So if you're a residential member, we'll go ahead and send you a welcome letter. Thank you. We appreciate your support for renewable energy. In addition to that, of course, we'll send them a decal sticker so they can display that proudly. If you're a business and you're participating in the program, we'll have a little bit more for you, a marketing kit. The more that they put out there, hopefully the more, you know, the community gets involved, more members participate in the program, more funds for renewable energy. So we'll give them social media content, the Green Up business logo, they can put on their menu, et cetera. We could list them on our website, potentially give them a participating plaque, or maybe they'll opt out and not want any of those things, and we'll accommodate that as well. All right, so now we're going to go back to community and renewables. So we talked about the REC kind of through our discussion. That's the claim. What about this community piece? As I mentioned, those funds from the members that are participating will go into what we're calling a renewable energy investment fund, all right? And that will allow Chugach to invest in qualifying and competitively selected renewable energy projects in the community. This is not a new concept. Actually, this example listed here was presented to you at the April planning meeting, 3 Degrees, had this in their presentation, Silicon Valley Power, they do something very similar. They have a fund, and they invest nonprofit solar installation in their community. Now, to specifically address your question of who are we going to fund or what projects are we going to fund, that will most likely be based on how much money we have to work with and what projects are out there.
Yeah, you're going to get a portion of it for our future here in this, but a portion of it is going to go directly to the lower 48.
No.
Immediately, right? 10% is to buy RECs.
To purchase RECs. So to be able to offer the option to green up a bill, we need to get RECs from somewhere, because currently we don't have any RECs in Alaska. We sell our Island Wind RECs. And so in order for the member to get that, we do need to go elsewhere to purchase.
Can we sell RECs to people within our membership on the community solar project that we're going to build?
So if I understand that correctly, the community solar project, I'm going to look to Sean to confirm and others, the members that will participate in that, the shareholders will receive those RECs. So we will retire those RECs on their behalf.
So they're paying for them, so they get the benefit. The people that participate in the community solar.
So they won't generate any extraneous RECs
right.
to purchase by any other.
So, say I put $10,000 into a community solar project, I'm going to sell some RECs on my $10,000, and I'll get the benefit of that. Is that how you're working it?
You'll get the RECs, right?
Mm-hmm. If you're a subscriber to community solar, because presumably you want green power.
So I'm going to sell that on the market, or what?
You just get the bragging rights. That's what you're.
Exactly.
Oh, well. Sorry. So couldn't he donate those bragging rights back to Chugach to sell on
I don't
a
think you
grant
can,
program?
I don't think you can.
I like that.
Market. I don't think you can do that, can you? You can't market here.
What would they get you?
You can't market it. You can't market it as green if you've sold the RECs, because you sold the green rights.
Well, could people then just say, I don't want the RECs? Chugach can keep them and sell them.
They could, but they would not be able to get the benefit. They wouldn't be able to. Harry, for example, wouldn't be able to go out and say, hey, I bought green power, right? You wouldn't be able to say that.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Somebody
He's okay
else
with
yeah.
saying that.
Who cares about saying that?
No. So I think that's a good question. Matt Stewart's question. What if people that bought the community solar subscription decide, I don't need the RECs, you keep them, just, I'm good with that. Could we sell them?
If we have RECs on our system,
okay,
yeah.
we could
yeah.
sell them.
I mean, just like we're selling Fire Island RECs today, we could add them and have
yeah.
them.
Why would, why, how would that be any different?
Yep, could.
This is interesting concept. Okay. Go ahead, Stuart, then we're going to move
one
on.
One more follow-up, and it was tied with Fire Island RECs. We have those that are being sold some way into the market. I'm assuming, are they on a long-term thing, or can we, instead of purchasing some others, keep our own RECs and return those? Because I think one of the hardest components are going to be getting people locally to think, wow, I am buying renewable energy, yet I have no grid connection or anything to that area. You know, do I really care what's happening in Florida? I want it here. That, you know, that's just one of the marketing challenges
yeah,
that we're going to deal with.
I think so. I think you get a lot more push for community here instead of the general community of humankind. You
yeah.
know?
You'd have a hard time selling me an investor-owned utility in Wyoming that wants to take advantage of some more wind while they're putting out baseload coal at the same time.
So who would decide where the funds would go? Would that be Chugach function?
Yeah, so Chugach gets to decide which renewable energy projects you would support within the community.
And I think that some parameters on that would help a lot.
I think it talks more about what we would do or options.
Yeah. Before we know options, we need to know how much is coming in, right? And
right.
so this slide is illustrating the low amount of net revenue at the end of 5 years.
to the I. And there's two assumptions in this. The first is that the participation levels are about that 2%. And then also, what are people subscribing to? Which level? Blueberry Hill, Flat Top, or O'Malley? Everybody said, I just want to do Blueberry Hill. We would get about $66,000 to work with at the end of 5 years. If everybody says O'Malley Peak, about, you know, $500,000. That's not going to be the case. We know that people are going to do a mix. And so you can look at that mid as probably most likely what we'll see at the end of 5 years. So what can we do? Can we do anything with $66,000 at the end of 5 years? Well, actually, we can. We can. And that's the point, is that even if we have a little bit of that amount of money, we could do things. Again, these are just sample projects, okay? And so it's about $3,000 for 1 kW of solar install, about $6,200 for a battery storage unit, and about $20,000 for a wind turbine. If we got $66,000 in the pot to go and put renewable energy projects in the community, we could put 10 kW within the community of solar, all right? Or, you know, 5 units battery storage. Of course, you could do behind the scenes and move these numbers however you like. The idea of this slide is there'll be a lot of potential to support renewable projects, whatever those projects may be, even if at the least amount we could have an impact within the community. And the members that are participating in the Green Energy Program will see the benefit because they will see projects come to fruition. So, now we're going to loop all the way back to the timeline. It's been a year, so I know we're going to go back and again, what are we doing? Where are we at? We're looking at system integrations right now, CIS, billing, making sure it's all fluid. There's a lot of behind the scenes before we really develop and make sure that the subscription model is as simple and easy for our members as possible. One other thing that I don't think I mentioned here is that the Green Energy Program is not only a low-cost program for our members, but our program, or our members will also be able to cancel anytime. Unlike the community solar project, which they're going to require at least 1 year or 25 years, depending on if they're going to subscribe or do the upfront cost.
Does anybody else in the state do that? I'm looking at your submit filing for RCA. Does anybody else have a similar program to this in the state?
Not a greenout program that I know of. Then the draft the marketing materials, really figure out what our real logo is going to be, or and then the CIS testing following the soft launch. So with that, I know there's more questions.
Okay, let's keep, we have a lot to cover tonight, so let's go just kind of one question from anybody else, because there will be more to come. I think the key thing to note, it is a voluntary program. Just another avenue for people who want to do this. So with that, questions or comments, Harry?
What do you mean by self-launch?
Can I ask one?
Yes, coming up next, Harry's got the floor right now, Susan, then you're next.
And he asked, what do we mean by soft launch? That's a great question. So community solar is right now, it's scheduled to launch in March, beginning of March, which is very similar to this timeline. But community solar, we're going to put our priority. That's our priority. We want 80% of those shares to be sold. And because of that, we don't want to put all of our efforts into marketing this program because we don't want our members to be drawn to, we want members to be drawn to the community solar program first, right? However, there is a potential that some members will not be able to hit that price point of community solar. Therefore, we want this in the back wings to say, well, there is another program that will allow you to support renewable energy. We have a green energy program. But that will be through conversation and discussion. We won't be sending out bill inserts or putting messages on the bills about the green energy program. So it will soft launch until we receive that 80%. We have community solar up and running. And then, hey, we also have another renewable energy program, green energy. Come and sign up.
I think so.
Susan, your question, Susan.
So going back to slide 15, does the $6,600 per year, which is the low estimated net revenue, is that 30% of an estimated contribution by 2% of our members, or is that 100% of the contribution of 2% of our members? In other words, is that net to us?
to get taking into account 10% for rec, 20% for fees, and 20% for admin.
So all of the additional fees are excluded from this. So this is net what we have to contribute to a community solar project. Or a community, excuse me, now I'm getting my phrases confused. A renewable energy project within the community.
But nothing would stop us from investing that. Oh, it would be invested in our territory. That's
right.
Our, okay, that's our focus.
And then we could use those credits to, as we build this along, we'll use those credits rather than buying credits.
Right, absolutely.
And then we can start selling to people in Wyoming.
Absolutely. Do the reverse.
Well, we kind of already do with our
Ryan Wynn. We do. We go. Okay, any other comments or questions for Kate? It's not simple to get your head around, so it might take a few more times.
Mm-hmm. It's just one thing, you know, thank you. And I know it's hard as it is for, you know, for me to understand. I know our members are asking for something like this, and it the community solar may be too expensive or too much of a commitment. So I need to understand it so I can have a better conversation with members.
And, you know, time will tell. If we don't get a lot of subscription to this, then we don't. I mean, maybe it will fade away and people are doing some favors. But it might be something that our customers want. I mean, that's our focus, to be customer-centric. So, Harry.
So, about once a week, I get a thing from Arcadia Power on my email. And are they doing the same thing that we're talking about doing? And can we supplant them and get them off my email?
Ours is much better. Ours is much better because what they're doing, what they're asking you to do, is just give them money for the rec.
Right.
They're saying, I'll bring up your bill, and I'm going to go retire that rec on your behalf, but I'm going to just take all that extra money from it. So I'm not going to put renewable energy projects, I'm not going to put solar panels in your community, or anywhere else. And so we really do have that renewable component within the community to deliver our members. It's a much better selling point.
Okay. Yeah. That's quite the scheme they got going on.
Well, I'd like for people, I mean, I have a lot of people that ask me about Arcadia Power and said, is that your community solar project that you have coming up? And all I said, no, it's not affiliated at all, but I haven't been able to really explain it because I don't understand it all myself. But I'd just really like to be able to say, we have something that's far better than this Arcadia Power.
And we'll be. Yeah.
Okay, can we wrap this up? Are there any other really burning questions? Thank you, Katie.
Okay.
Thank you. It's an interesting thing. It, you know, it takes a while to let it wear on you a little bit. Okay, so let's go on to item number E, Abbott Road Phase 2.
Shelley will give an overview here, and that was a fairly large project this year, and we just wanted to let the board know what's going to take place for next year.
So, yeah, the state project. Last, you should see the back. Oh. No? Oh, there we go. That's four. Okay, four. So, Abbott Road Phase 1 was done last year, and that went from Lagodas to Elmont, and they're continuing with phase 2 at this time. They're searching for funding now. They're trying to get their application in by the end of the year. And if that proceeds, then they are going to have Chugach start our work here soon so that they can start work in June. So the facilities that Chugach has impacted along the project are on Abbott Road from Elmore East to Birch, and then our overhead line continues. But we're going to do our project just what's associated with the road, and we have an overhead 12.5 kV distribution line on the south side of the road. And the road is going to widen from two lanes to two lanes and a turn lane, so the whole power line is going to be retired overhead and then placed underground further south. Approximately 1 mile from point to point, 25 poles will be retired, and there's 10 street lights on those poles that will be retired.
So what will we do for street lighting then if those are retired?
Well, that's a good question. So there are additional lights on the north side of the road. It's a state road. The Muni has some requirements on lighting.
Yeah.
The state has some requirements. At this time, though, the state is not asking us to
we normally would get a load center, and they would have their own lights in, or the municipality would. There's a few load centers going with the project, but not one for streetlights at this time. So I think the existing ones on the north side may be the only lights.
It's a little darker over there.
Yeah, it might get a little darker until you get to the school, then it gets a little bit lighter by the school. And this is the total cost of just the Chugach facilities. Kind of a high number right now is $1.9 million reimbursable. And it does fit within the criteria of Title 21 that they are changing more than six pools in alignment, so they would cover the cost of retiring over and placing underground, so removing it out of the way of the road project prior to them coming in to do the work. So we're out to bid currently. Bids should come back January 9th. We would start as early as February 1st, give the electrical crews about 8 weeks to get out of the way, so the installation, we would put all of the cable and conduit in for the electrical. Then the communications teams would come in and pull all of the cable, TV, GCI, and ACS so that they'll be out of the way. When they're done, we'll remove the pole and be out of the way for the road crews to start approximately June 1st. And here's just a picture of Abbott Road. This is the power line we're talking about. It does have ACS and GCI attached. That starts just a wee bit to the west of this. This is Carlson Street. Continues east. So a large project, quite a bit of impact in that area. We will be not, we normally are an easement, a private easement, but we are going to be on the road right away in this case, as opposed to kind of going up the hill into private property.
Is the whole, the $1.9 million is DOT reimbursable? Is there, are there any other additional costs that are not reimbursable that we will incur?
At this time, no. We're currently working with the Red Books with them at this time. Normally, if we have this line up here and we wanted to do a fiber installation or something for Chugach, we could just go add something to these poles. So we are putting extra conduit in the ground that's part of the project. So at this time, I have not seen anything that you guys would be contributing.
We like that.
Yeah. Should all be covered. I know they're working on funding. It's going to be really tight for this. So, but it's in the process.
Any questions? Comments? Oh, are you finished?
I'm finished.
You're finished.
Questions?
Comments? Sounds good. Looks like a good project. Thank you.
All right, thanks,
Shelley. All right, let's move right along. We're going to move on to item number six, director reports. Lee, you want to update us on ArcTech?
Right. ArcTech had a meeting on December 18th. It was really a short meeting. There was basically a business meeting to look at APA as providing services for ArcTech, for secretarial, and for meeting space and minutes and all that stuff. So we approved the contract with APA for one more year, so basically just extending the contract. I think some of the hourly rates may have gone up about $5 per hour, but it was negligible. So that was done. We talked about the budget for this year for the RFP effort on the RCC, and that's going to be taken care of through a cash call, and we talked about that at the last meeting. So part of it was taking a cash call divided equally amongst all the utilities, the four utilities, so 25% apiece. The other portion is going to be done on load ratio share, and so we had to provide this week what that load ratio share was. So we should be getting bills out here before the end of the year. Other new business, we just had signatories, you know, signature cards and just routine stuff. So we had a short executive session, but that was
any progress on the contract? The
Everything's ready to go. What we're waiting on right now is to do the initial contact with the regulatory commission, and some discussion on the timing of that. I believe December 27th we're going to try to meet with the commission.
Okay, so that's on schedule at this time. Just started, thank God.
They want to get the process started by January 18th, but until we get scheduled from the RCA, it's going to be hard to get it started.
Okay. Any comments or questions about ArcTech? All right. Board reports. Board meeting reports. We've had so many meetings, it's hard to tell.
Right. No ops.
And no, I think we're, we escaped on that one already. Any other meeting reports? All right, cruising right along. No unfinished business. New business, an appointment of an NREC voting delegate.
That is for the upcoming meeting, the annual meeting in end of February. So do we have, is there a motion on here?
Do you have a motion? Okay. You want to make it?
Jim.
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah,
Jim, unfortunately, we're having a very hard time hearing you. We're going to try turning you up a little bit, and if you would repeat what you just said.
Yeah, I said I'd like to either be the alder or the primary on this because I was, well, Susan and I were pretty vocal. We agreed and we chatted about this and we were pretty vocal and I'd be glad to work with Susan again.
So what?
Speaking for myself, I would love to be the delegate for the alder. Fine, that's perfect. I would be the alder.
So would somebody please make a motion that Susan be the delegate to the NRECA, the voting delegate to NRECA, and that Jim Henderson be the alternate. Would somebody make that motion?
I move that the Board of Directors appoint Susan Reeves as the NRECA voting delegate and Jim Henderson as the alternate.
There's a motion, a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, we have new voting delegates. You'll have to sign some things when you are next in town. So moving on to new business item B, Hope Substation Upgrade. Is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Directors...
We're going to go ahead and do that here. Thank you, though.
I move that the Board of Directors authorize the Chief Executive Officer to approve project expenditures for the Hope Substation Upgrade at an estimated total cost of $1,900,000 with an estimated completion date of December 2018.
Second. Okay, there's a motion, second. Any discussion on this item? I think we've talked about this quite a bit in the past. Are there any other questions or comments, discussion on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Let's go ahead and go into executive session and take a short break. So, can somebody make a motion to go into executive session, please?
I'll make a motion to move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.25.17(c)(1)(m)(3), the Board of Directors go into executive session to discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative, and two, receive reports upon legal matters that are attorney-client privileged, and the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Okay. Okay. Motion is second to go into executive session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, we're in executive session. It is. Let's come out of executive session, shall we? Okay, we're out of executive session. Now, let's go to director comments. Harry!
We will miss you.
Thank you.
That is probably the most important issue of the evening.
I'll get to it.
Really don't know exactly how to function without you around here.
Thanks, Harry. I have to go back in time. I have to designate an acting secretary. So, Jim, would you designate an acting secretary?
Can't
see, no, CC
can't do it,
can't she?
No.
I don't know why not.
Well, she's already got one role.
Pick anybody else.
How about Patina.
Would you accept the acting secretary role?
Sure.
Okay, so that's Patina. And then who's going to sign your expense report? Mr. Henderson.
Harry.
Harry's got the expense. And Susan, who's going to sign your expense report?
Harry,
you've got just a signature authority, whatever. Okay, we're going to go back to director comments. Bettina's busy, so Stuart, we're up with you.
I think it's a good meeting. A lot of excitement coming out.
Okay.
Cece. I really enjoyed the Clean Energy Program presentation, and I will miss you, Janet.
On the phone, or but Tina's still signing. Susan?
Well, I'm going to save my remarks about Janet's departure for whatever we do to formally celebrate that. But I certainly agree that not only will we miss her, but I will miss her. And other than that, on the meeting, I can just say 8 o'clock and a lot later in Phoenix.
Thank you for hanging in there with us. Jim.
Yes, I guess I want to ask or say this was a good meeting to culminate your career here. We certainly, I think we really accomplished something and you were here. And, congratulations.
Thank you. Bettina, you're second to last. I get to go last.
Well, I echo what everyone else said. You will be really there. And I hope we can hold things up without you.
So I have the last comment, and I happen to have my letter of resignation that I will give to Bettina, but I will read it to you, and it says, to Chugach Electric Association Board of Directors, as you all know, I have accepted the position of Executive Director at AEA. Please consider this my notice. This is really hard for me. Notice of resignation, effective December 31st, 2017. It has been a pleasure and honor to serve with all of you. I believe we have represented our membership well during my tenure, and I am proud of the work we have accomplished over the years. I leave Chugach knowing it is in capable hands going into the future. So, you've got me for one more day tomorrow, so any slings and arrows need to come down. But I do, I'm sorry about this. I want to thank you all, all of you, individually and collectively. So when I sing my list to the song, and it's a really cool song, Arden probably knows it, and it talks about, a good friend would bail you out of jail, but a better friend would be in jail with you. And so I think about you guys as my better friend, because we have all done this together, and, over 10 years, all the way from voting for SPP, my very first vote, like my very first meeting. I don't know why we didn't do it before, all the way through this momentous, incredible thing, and everything else in between. So you're my good friends, and we're in jail together, we've been in jail together, and I'm breaking out. It sucks for you, and I'll be watching you and writing letters to the editor if you guys saw it, but you guys are all really important to me. You're my family, and I wouldn't be leaving if I weren't being kicked out. That's all I have to say. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.